Welcome to HeatCast, the official podcast of Heat Changed It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am so excited to be here and to talk about the world of men's mental wellness in all of the facets and pathways that we explore in that topic. Obviously, we are the official podcast of Heat Changed It. If you haven't downloaded the Heat Changed It app, what are you waiting for? It has never looked better. Things are happening behind the scenes. I know I'm a broken record when it comes to that, but it's just really exciting to watch this thing grow. And at the end of the day, you know, He Changed It is the first men's mental wellness platform that has been created. And we're incredibly proud of what's been happening and what is going to happen. Now, we have been in partnership for some special episodes of HeatCast with a company called TELUS. For the Canadians, you know what TELUS is. For other people around the world, you might not necessarily know who they are. TELUS is a massive, massive communications company in Canada, cell phone provider, broadcast television provider, massive internet provider. And we went into and did a very cool program with TELUS. The result was five amazing episodes of HeatCast, which we are now going to put out on our platform here. The episodes are with a band. The band is called Proper Man. And Proper Man is a local band from Kelowna, British Columbia. And all five members have a story. The entire band has a story. And so as a narrative, all five episodes tie in together, kind of like Voltron, you know, a whole bunch of robots coming together to make one super robot, kind of like that. Each episode is amazing. And I'm so proud of the work that we have done. I'm so proud to be friends with these guys. And it's a pretty special story. So without further ado, HeatCast, the official podcast of He Changed It, would like to present Proper Man, the HeatCast Conversations. Welcome to HeatCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I'm excited to be here. I'm extra excited to introduce this episode. Nori Wentworth is a member of Proper Man, and but way more than that. He is he's a husband, he's a business owner. He's a guy that I've looked up to. We've grown up in the same city, and Nori was always one of those guys where I would just look at him and go, that guy is cool. I wish I could be cool like Nori. And he is. He's just an awesome guy, but he has an awesome heart. He's not just cool because he's a great musician, but he's got an awesome heart. He loves building into people and helping people. We've got an episode that's going to be coming out. We haven't shot it yet, but it's going to be coming out with somebody that he forwarded to me. And the story is unbelievable. The thing I love about Nori is that he recognizes these stories in people and he wants to help people. He's been through stuff and he wants to take the stuff that he's been through and use that to help others. This episode of HeatCast focusing on Proper Man is a very good example of that. And Nori really opens up and talks about what makes him tick, where he's come from, what he's learned, and these messages. All this entire group of episodes are going to do that for guys and be a shining example where iron sharpens iron. We can all sharpen each other. So without further ado, HeatCast, the Proper Man Conversations, excited to present Nori Wentworth.
Who Nori Wentworth is to me and who he is to the band. Nori Wentworth is a very slender, beautiful man, probably weighs 145 pounds, but he cut his beard off, so 140 pounds. I don't know, I'm probably incorrect on that. I met Nori, he filmed Glasshead doing a video shoot for some management company with his brother like 22 years ago. That's where I first met him. And ever since, he works in a music store. He doesn't like me going on about that, because we all have these alter egos where we're not the guy from the music store, I'm not a winemaking guy. We all have different pet names in the band for each other. But yeah, obviously he works at Wentworth Music. I've known him through the years, been always got to know him as a friend. Always wanted to play music with him, and I think for some stupid reason he wanted to play music with me. So I always had it in my mind that that's somebody I wanted to play with. Great bass player, lots of experience, but also just a good person. And bands are complicated. Like, you gotta, any band guy will know, it's like having, you know, four wives, and then the band's guys have wives. So now you got 8 or 10. Of these sensitive humans that you have to love, take care of, and respect. And he's just an easy guy to do that with. He's a great guy.
Welcome to this special edition of HeCast. We are so excited to be presenting our expose, our highlight of the band Proper Man. Today, we've got Nori Wentworth here. I'm very excited about this particular guest today because I'm born and raised here in Kelowna, and growing up in this city, there has always been, as far back as I can remember, all the way back to band in elementary school when I was playing the trombone, I remember Wentworth music. And we got a guy here who has inherited the family business by way of his name is on the mast, but also is full force in with Wentworth music, doing his thing, teaching as well. Do you do the teaching?
I don't
well?
Teach. No,
you don't teach. Do the
no,
teach.
No, I've got terrible technique, and I don't want to pass that on to anybody else. So,
business owner, musician, been around here for a long time, has a great story, and the other part of the rhythm section of Proper Man, Nori Wentworth. Thank you for taking time
Absolutely.
To come out and be part of this project, this focus that we're doing on Proper Man.
Yeah, totally. Thanks for having me. This is good. This is gonna be. It's going to be good.
It is going to be good. The beard is coming back, and we'll talk about how where it was as we go through the interview here. We told you a little bit about He Changed It when we sat down. We talked about the app that's being built, all of that. Men's mental wellness and how it needs to be a focus. And mm-hmm. and Jason kind of put it around, well, is this something that we want to do? And all of you gave a resounding yes.
Yes.
I think that speaks a lot to who Proper Man is. Mm-hmm. You've been a part of a lot of bands growing up. You've been a musician, I would assume, since, I mean, family business.
Pretty much day one, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, you kind of started. Did you start right away? Like, are there pictures of you as a 3-year-old with a guitar or a bass in your hand?
My first instrument was the accordion, actually, which was super popular apparently back in the 70s. And my dad played it, and it just really intrigued me how it functioned. So, unfortunately, my accordion career never really took off, but I switched from there to keyboard to guitar. And then as far as bass, I very quickly realized that there's a great need for bass players. There's a ton of guitar players out there. So I switched over to bass, and ever since then, I've been in many, many different bands. But
you have. I can remember in my 20s growing up, I would go to, almost every Sunday night, I would go to a place called Roses, which mm-hmm. no longer exists, and I would go watch Blunt play.
Yep.
And I loved that band. It's local, there's something about local rock and local bands that there's a there's a synergy that's just different. It's similar to indie, but you still get the connection and a deeper connection, I think, when you get local.
Yeah.
You took to it right away. Have you always been in a band?
Pretty much, yeah. I think I was in grade 6 or 7, and I was playing at my brother's talent shows in high school. And then there used to be a teenage nightclub called Heartbreakers back in the early 90s. And I think I was 12 or 13 and went and played a show there. And yeah, just once you're up on stage, you get hooked pretty quick. So
I was going to say, you got a music store, mm-hmm. Part of that family business. You're part of that culture your whole life. You never really turned away from that. Was that something you always embraced?
It's always definitely been part of everything that I've done. At one point, I did go to film school, and I tried to start up my own production company. But as you probably realize, it's very expensive. Equipment is very costly and very time consuming as well. So it was... I started having to play in a couple of different bands in order to afford the equipment, but then I didn't have the time to film. And then it was about a 5 or 6 year venture, but I still, some of the Proper Man music videos, I'll edit those and
you still got a finger in it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I still really enjoy editing. It's kind of a passion of mine, but
what does Wentworth music do? Talk a little bit about the and how has it changed as you've grown and grown into different roles within the company. It's obviously grown significantly even since I was a kid. I mean the footprint you guys have is tremendous.
We never stopped changing and growing, doing different things. It was started. My grandpa used to be in the Air Force, and one of his last projects was the Avro Aero. And then when that got scrapped, everybody got dispersed. A lot of the guys went down to work for NASA. Mm-hmm. He decided to retire at that point. So he was an electrical engineer, retired to Kelowna, started working at the Capri House of Lights, which most people probably won't remember that.
This is I don't remember that.
It's in the 60s.
Okay.
So I don't know why you don't remember that.
Yeah, no. Okay. That explains it. My parents might, though.
Yeah, my dad at the time was a organ player and guitar player, and he started teaching guitar out of the back of the electrical store. And then he started getting more and more students. And then he sold one of his guitars to a student, took that money, bought two more guitars, sold those off. Bought four guitars.
No kidding.
And that's how Wentworth Music started. It was my dad teaching under the back of this place. And
flipping guitars.
Yeah.
The way that kids flip sneakers these days.
Yeah, exactly.
And turn it into a store.
So my grandparents thought, hey, this is a venture we might want to get behind. So they came out of retirement and started Capri House of Music.
Okay.
Which very quickly changed to Wentworth House of Music. And this is all a matter of a few months.
Yeah.
And then from there, it was like, you know, you'd see lights and a washing machine and a guitar and some records. And so it slowly changed from this electrical store over to a music store. Then eventually they expanded. They needed to hire another teacher as a piano instructor. Yeah. And they hired what turned out to be my mom. So my dad ended up marrying her. And then it just kept evolving from there. And, you know, add another employee. And then eventually... myself and my two brothers got involved with the business, and we've grown it to where it's at today. So it's been since 1966. So
wow! So third generation.
Third generation. Yep.
And it has grown significantly. So what are the types of stuff that you guys do?
My side of thing is sales.
Yep.
So we now have three locations: one in Vernon, Penticton, and Kelowna.
Yeah.
We sell pretty much any type of musical instrument you can imagine. The other part of our store, which my wife now runs, is the education center. We currently have about 1,000 students. We had peaked at about 1,400 students, but then COVID kind of came along and wrecked
that. And you're back up to 1,000 since?
We're back up to 1,000, yeah. We dropped down quite a bit, but it's been growing quite a bit in the last couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Grandpa would be proud.
He would be, absolutely, yeah.
That's super, super cool. And yet the passion for music hasn't died in you at all. You just, this is a way to be in the music business, but at the same time, you're able to perform and do all these things.
Yeah, it's very lucky because it's, I was actually just telling somebody this the other day that it's, I think it's important in everybody's life that everybody has three aspects of their life. You need your work life, you need your home life, and then you need some form of getaway, whether it's golf or the gym or whatever. Everybody needs that. And everybody's decent at something, right?
Yeah.
The thing for me is all three of those intertwine. So it's a good thing and a bad thing sometimes.
Oh, yeah. When it works, it works.
Yeah. But
if it's crappy, then it also is impeding. That crappiness moves into the
it's
other
two. It's true, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You have a frustrating day at work. It's like, well, I can't go and work out at the gym. You know, that's what most people will do to mentally change things over. But for me, it's like they're all intertwined. So
yeah, talk about some of the bands you've been in. What kind of music have you played? Have you played all sorts of music? Like, I mean, you know, I watch even Proper Man is so eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
The different styles that that intertwine just within your band right now.
Yeah,
clearly, you know, you've got some guys who have lived some life, and they're able to bring all these different elements of music and styles into what you're doing now. You've been in punk, you've been in rock, like all sorts of, ever been in country?
I have been in a country band. Yep.
Yep.
It's, and that's the thing with music. If you pigeonhole yourself into one genre of music, you're going to get stuck there and you're going to get frustrated. And for any instrument, you're your own worst enemy. And, you know, I will never sit down and listen to current pop country music. It's just like, it's not my thing. Some people will say you're crazy, but it's just, it's not my thing. But I love to play it.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's just so cool that I can be like, hey, today I'm going to be a reggae bass player. And you have to think like a reggae bass player. Like, you know, likewise for every instrument, it's, you have to think like that specific genre, and it puts your brain in a totally different spot, and it makes you a much better musician in the end.
Yeah. So how many bands before Proper Man?
I was probably in about 30 or 40 bands. My main thing for a really long time was just playing covers, because that allowed me to play every weekend. And the cool thing with covers is it forces you to learn every different genre. So,
right.
You know, if you play at a wedding and it's like, hey, play that country song, and you're like, we only play rock.
Yeah.
You're not going to get booked quite quite a bit. Yeah. So yeah, I've
30 or 40 bands.
Yeah, I've been around the block.
So okay, now I think we've painted done a good job of painting the picture of what your life looks like. When does Proper Man come into your life, and how does it come into your life?
Well, I'm sure you'll probably hear from the other guys of how they got into the band. Yeah. I've known Jason and Petri and Justin and Travis. I've known
in
them
different
all.
Ways. Like
in different
guys,
ways.
Yeah. I love that about this.
You know, being Kelowna in the music industry for over 40 years, it's just like...
You know a lot of the people who play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Proper Man started with Petri was going through a hard time relationship-wise, and Jason really stepped up and said, hey, let's get playing again together, because they'd played in a punk band prior to that.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, I got a text from Jason just saying, hey, do you want to lay down some bass tracks? And over the years, I would get that message from Jason, you know, 10 years prior to that, it was the same thing. So I used to go over to his house and, just lay down bass tracks. And we were just having fun, you know, bring a six-pack of beer over and just record. And then this band started the same way. And there's no ambitions to ever start a band. It was just... We were just recording and having a good time, and that was our getaway. You know, it was the weekend golf for some people, or you know, working out at the gym. It was just a good release. Get your mind away from a relationship. Get your mind away from work.
How important is that for a guy to have that in this modern world? You think about middle age now.
I mean,
we try and be kids at heart as much as we possibly can, but we have to do a fair amount of adulting.
Yep.
And Lord knows you've had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it having a release like that when it comes to it is
mandatory. There's no question of it not being even slightly important. It has to happen in everybody's life. And the people that I see struggling in life through different things, they typically don't have that. It's like work, go home, crack a beer, sit on the couch, watch TV. And it's just like, you got to work out. You got to, and by work out, I mean just have something, either physical or mental. You know, it's so important.
And music is I think music is almost universal. The idea where if you play it, great. A lot of people don't play it, but you can experience it anyway. Like music is one of those things that, in my opinion, can be a shortcut to some of those things.
Yeah.
Man, if I'm angry, I listen to some Nine Inch Nails or listen to some stuff from when I was at, you know, the stuff that I identify with that emotion.
Totally.
And it helps. It's almost like you have a tool to help you deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And then playing it has another appeal to it. Playing in front of a live crowd, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. It's if you've never been up on stage with an audience cheering for you, there's this certain energy that gets directed towards you, and you can't explain it. There's probably something physical there that you can't
or metaphysical.
See. Well, and it's true. Like when you get positive energy sent your way, you absorb that, and you become more positive because of it.
Yeah.
And it's euphoric. It's
yeah. I've experienced it public speaking as well, and I've tried to explain it to people as well. And certainly Proper Man is a phenomenal example of this. I watch you do it. I've seen a dozen shows over the last little while as we've started this process of me getting to know you, and the idea of you receive this amazing energy.
Yeah.
But then you take it and you kind of transform it and you throw it right back out and the audience then receives it back.
Yeah, that's the hope. And it's like, if you've ever seen any band play, you're like, man, that was such an incredible show. And you could see that same band play a week later and you're like, man, something was weird. There was this weird vibe in the room. And that's what it is. It's like, if something's not jiving there, we could have had the best performance as a band that we've ever had. But if the audience isn't reciprocating that back and forth, it just doesn't work out.
Yeah. And, I wish that we had the scientific instruments to be able to measure these things and explain how it works. But it's this amazing gift that's given to you guys who play, but also to the audience who sees it. I mean, going through COVID, I don't know how many times I said, I need a concert.
Yeah.
I need to have that experience where there's a communal thing about it. Even though it's a room full of strangers, and then that energy thing, it's so cool.
Yeah.
So that being said, you're laying bass tracks with Jay, having fun, getting these releases like that where you're hanging out with your buddies, you're doing something that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I look around at this room here. I look at this. Was that When was that ever an ambition that you like? Did that come out of nowhere, or was it a Jason like, no, I got a vision for this thing, and we're gonna have a house that we can go and like. How crazy is this that you have this right now?
Yeah, I mean, it was always stuff that we had talked about.
Dreams?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, without dreams and ambitions, like, you always have to have some form of a goal. You don't have to have that, you know, here's what I'm going to do, here's the end game, and then that's it.
Right.
Like, a lot of people say, you know, what's your 10-year goal?
Sure.
It's just like, it's great to have these little master goals, but I've always lived my life of, let's set mini goals and just get on the path.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever gone hiking in the woods where it's just like, I'm just going to get on this path and go for a hike for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you might go, hey, well, I'm just going to walk that way. Oh, there's another path this way. I've never even considered that. Like, what could you possibly be missing out because you were so set on this one end goal where this quick little path over here might be the most beautiful waterfall and you wouldn't have seen it because you were just so focused and fixated on that. So that's what I try to instill in my kids as well. It's just like, have a goal, but the main thing is just getting on that path.
Yeah.
Just start walking.
Yeah.
Who cares where it ends up?
And you'll never know what you see.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And be open to the idea that you might see things that
exactly
transform these ideas or whatever. Don't be so rigid.
But it's just start, just go. If you sit there and you're idle, you're moving backwards. It's as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, the idea that this place, that Jason would build something where you guys have this home field advantage and all that.
Yeah.
As it came to pass, you've been in, you know, dozens of bands. Mm-hmm. Clearly, this is a unique experience.
Absolutely. It's sorry, I like to grandpa rant, and I start on a story, and I go off in
different directions. No. This is good. This is jazz. We do whatever we want.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's... Yeah, as I said, when we started this out, it was just a fun just get together and record. And there was no ambitions to be like, here's where we want to end up.
Yeah.
And we've been doing this since, I think, 2016. So, you know, this has been going for 6 or 7 years now. Mm-hmm. And the hardest thing in any band, it's a lot like a marriage. There's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of give and take. And I think that's why most bands will fail very quickly. We have gone through a handful of drummers and other musicians. But the difficulty, it's, you know, finding like-minded people. It's especially at our age. When you're young, it's just like, hey, you want to be in a band? Cool. Do you want to get girls and go out on tour and be a rock star? Well, yeah. Like, who doesn't want to do that? But, you know, when you're in your 40s, it's like, hey, you want to be in a band? It's like... Is it going to take away from my home life? Is it going to take away from my kids or my wife or that kind of thing? So it's been pretty awesome working with all these guys because we're all very similar mindset where it's just like Proper Man comes first from a family unit. So there's nothing that Proper Man does that will take away from anybody's vacation time, from their kids' hockey game, from their day jobs. It's always like...
And you all have this understanding that priorities are...
Yeah, whereas a lot of other bands that I've been in, it's always been like, no, the band comes first.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care that your wife's in labor.
The sacrifice is everything.
Yeah, right? Yep. And I was guilty of that as well, where it was just like, you know, I've been married before, and I know that was taxing on the relationship, playing in a band every weekend. And likewise with my current marriage, it's gotten many, many arguments with my wife over the years about how much I was away.
Mm-hmm.
Because... You know, it's not just work, home, go gig, and then I'm back home. There's a lot of times when I'd be out on tour. Like, I'd be gone for weeks at a time.
Yeah. Never mind the rehearsals or studio stuff or whatever.
You know, people see, oh, you only play for 2 hours every weekend. It's like, yes, but there's also 2 to 3 hours every night practicing. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So understanding wives is, it's amazing that it's all working as well as it is in this group, but it's very important, and we always reiterate that to the wives. If you look around the club at the pictures, if you ever get into Crown of Thieves in West Kelowna, have a look at the walls. You'll see pictures up, and all the pictures are our wives. Mm-hmm. So you'll see, and including our sound man, right beside the sound booth is the sound man's wife, and it's... You know, we're just trying to make it a family unit first, and music comes along with it. And we've been very lucky because everyone in this band I've looked up to for so many years, long before playing in the band with them. Like, they're just all they're amazing guys and super talented.
Yeah. What you just talked about, in theory, sounds great. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, we're all around the same age, other than Justin, maybe. We're all around the same age, yeah. and we've got these priorities in life. They're gonna be the priorities in life.
Yeah.
I talked a little bit about the adulting you've had to do. Sometimes when life gives us, waves that might capsize the boat.
Yeah.
You've had that happen.
Yeah.
Your girl had a health. A mm-hmm. major health scare. I talk about the beard coming back. We'll PS the story in the sense that one of the shows I watched you play, you had a beard down to here,
yes.
And it was coming down. It was coming off the next day because you had incredibly good news.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
When you have a wife who goes through something like that, what's that like?
It's. So what happened was my wife, avid runner, very fit. We thought she had bronchitis, just really bad chest cold and really gurgly lungs. And she just wasn't getting better. We played a show in Penticton and the green room was upstairs. And she was walking like two steps up and then stopping me like, I can't breathe. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, and get it together. Like, why are you complaining?
Yeah.
And next day... I somehow convinced her to go to the walk-in clinic, yep. And they did all sorts of tests. And they're like, no, it's just a chest cold. And I'm like, she's downplaying it. Can you do some more tests here? Like, we've waited an hour.
Good for you for doing that, by the way.
And I'm the type of guy that never goes to the doctor for anything. Yeah. So it's like, if anybody tells me you need to go to the doctor, forget it. I'm not going.
Yeah.
But and she's the same way. But they took her blood pressure and they're like, something's not right here. And then they started doing more and more tests and they're like, you need to go to the emergency room now. You're about to have a heart attack. And she's like, what? And they're like, we can call you an ambulance or it'll be faster if you just go there and just go in. They'll admit you right away. And so we admitted her and they basically said, go have a seat. If you don't hear from us in the next 2 minutes, you'll probably be about 3-4 hours. So... I'm like, okay, I've got my van full of gear because we'd played the night before. And I'm like, I don't want to leave my van downtown. I'm going to rip home and empty it and then I'll come back. And in the time that I went, dropped off the gear and got back, she had been admitted basically right away. Test after test, it turned out that her kidneys had just shut down through what's called IgA nephropathy. And it's basically an autoimmune system where her body just said, kidneys are the problem. Shut them down.
We're going to attack the kidneys.
Yeah, so attack the kidneys. And at that point, I think she was at 15% function. And then very quickly over the next few weeks, lost all function. So she ended up on dialysis, which, at 39,
yeah.
I don't know anything about dialysis. Like, why would you, right? Unless you've got a family member that's gone through it. So that was a big lifestyle change. And then she ended up getting a transplant. And then got an infection in it in the hospital, which is the one thing. The biggest fear was like, is somebody going to die on the operating table? It's obviously a huge, huge fear. But the other fear is like, are you going to get an infection? Because right. Your body's open and there's nothing to protect anything there. So unfortunately they had to, what had happened was to backtrack, she got a blood clot and they went in to examine what's going on. And at that point she got the infection.
Oh, man.
So where they attached the kidney, the main artery that leads into it, basically just never resealed. This was in Vancouver because they don't do it locally.
Yeah.
So I was with her the whole time. I came back to play two shows in Kelowna and then brought our daughter back to Vancouver to pick Kristen up and we're going to bring her back home.
Yeah.
And she wasn't feeling 100%. And then right before we left... me and Bryn went out for dinner, her daughter, and we were just finishing eating and we got a phone call from the hospital. You need to get back here now. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, we can't tell you. So we were with a friend of ours. Our friend took Bryn home and went to her place. And then I went to the hospital and I walked into the room and it's your biggest fear. The room that she was in, there's no bed. There's no Kristen. There's none of her stuff. It's all stuffed into a bag and shoved in the corner. What's going on? No answers from anybody. And eventually I found one of the nurses that we had befriended, and she said, she sat up, started screaming. We don't know what happened. They took her down for emergency operation. So it was a whole lot of sitting and not knowing, and having a 15-year-old along with me who's got extreme anxiety at the best of times, trying to keep her calm. And it's just like, it's scary. You know, you got no control. You're getting no answers from anybody. Yeah. The person that you're there, you know, and the worst thing was, I said to her right before we left was, don't go anywhere. And that was the last thing I said to her. And then finally got to see her many hours later, and she was absolutely massive. She was quadruple the size.
Yeah.
Because that
artery. Water retention?
No, the artery let go, and all of the blood in her body was just pumping into her, her peritoneal cavity. And So, you know, we see her, she looks fantastic, we go for dinner, and then we finally get in to see her again, and her arms and feet are strapped to the bed because they don't want her moving and pulling anything out. And it was just, I've never seen it, it looked like the Borg from Star Trek. It was just tubes and wires, and it was just to see your loved one like that, and she, you know, on life support, and it was just like, wow. We were about to leave, and she was like, I'm not feeling that good. And I'm like, okay, we'll wait till tomorrow. And had we left, that would have been it. If that happened in the car, she would have been gone. Like, it was literally 10 seconds away from her being dead. So that was scary. And then she ended up on dialysis again, this time on hemodialysis, which eventually she trained to do it at home, which was awesome, because having to go to the hospital to do dialysis, it's a full-time gig. Like, It's fine if you don't have anything else going in your life, but, you know, as a middle-aged mom.
Anything like work or parenting or anything like that. Yeah, but you're still having to run a household.
Yeah.
You're still having to run a business as well, like all of these things. Yeah,
So she was going to the hospital, and it's, you know, an hour prep to get there and then do dialysis for 4 hours and then tear down by the time you get home. It's and then you're just exhausted. Yeah. So she was doing that 3 days a week. So luckily the hospital agreed to let her do it at home. So she trained to do it at home, which was awesome. But she's still tethered to a machine. Absolutely. I had to step up and do way more at the house, which was good for me because it slowed me down because I was very work focused and very band focused. And you know, you shift your priorities with what's going on in your life at the time. And you know, we've got three kids together, so it was making sure that they're all looked after, making sure the business is all looked after. Anyway, so to the beard, when she was getting her last transplant, I had a beard very similar to my length right now, and I put it on Facebook, you know, by vote, what should I do? And I had some like crazy handlebar mustaches and like all sorts of ridiculousness, and then I ended up, the main vote was for the giant mustache that came down like that. So I shaved it off, and then Kristen's like, no, that's got to go. And that was March of 2020. And then it was like, boom, COVID happened. And I'm like, okay, this is, what do I do? I'm in Vancouver. My business is now shut down in Kelowna. It was a scramble. Luckily, the second transplant took. I was able to get back to Kelowna. At that point, because everybody's wearing masks, I just started growing my beard. And I was like, whatever, it's a beard. I'll shave it off at some point. And I just let it kept going and kept going. And then eventually I was like, you know what? I'm going to grow it as long as Kristen was on dialysis. That's how long I'm going to let my beard go to. And then as I got closer to it, I was joking with a friend of mine, and he's just like, you should do a fundraiser and see what you can raise to, you know, get that thing gone, because he hated it.
Like it was
long.
It was real long.
Yeah. And so I put it out there onto Facebook, and I started a fundraiser for, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks, and the goal was $5,000, and I was going to do it either way.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, I just put it out there because the awesome thing with friends and family and community is most people want to help and support. Most people aren't really typically willing to put dollars where their mouth is, but you know, some people are. Some people, that's, hey, I don't have the time, but here's $50, here's $20. But through it, we ended up raising $8,300. And I said to Kristen, where do you want this money to go? And she was like, it'd be awesome to help something to do with dialysis or kidneys or something. And we just had that discussion of what's the worst thing about dialysis? And she's just like, going to the hospital, being there for so long, being uncomfortable. You're in a bed just sitting there. There's a big chair that everybody would fight over. It's this chair that heated up, and it was so comfortable, and I loved it. And it was, she's like, I would show up an hour early just so I could get this chair. Because they run it in shifts at the hospital, yep. right? So it's not like you just show up whenever. And I'm like, there's only one? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, why don't they have more? I'm like, is there not room for them? She's like, no, there's room for them. So I reached out to a friend of mine at the KGH Foundation, and I said, can we do this? Can I raise money not just for the renal department locally, but can they buy more chairs? And they're like, well, we can put it in the requisition and see what happens. I'm like, okay, well, worst case scenario, just it's going to the hospital.
Yeah.
If it goes to the renal ward, cool. About 2 weeks ago, I got an email from her saying, I just thought you should know, we were able to secure two new chairs. And I'm like, wow, like little dumb thing like that was actually able to make a difference. So at some point we're going to pop by the renal unit just to see the chairs, and we'll probably take some pictures while we're there. But, yeah, it's just, there's a certain joy that comes out of helping people. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you don't have to get a tax receipt or something back. It's just unsolicited, just helping people. Well, you know, lights that certain thing inside your soul where you're like, I did a good job here. Like, pat yourself on the back for at least a day. And
well, anytime that you can take a negative and turn it into a positive. And I think, I think that's very, very much what He Changed It's all about, actually. It's the idea that guys can go in and they can help each other through their stories. Mm-hmm. And your story here, I guarantee you, your story is helping somebody out there right now. It's giving them insights. It's letting them, at bare minimum, know that they're not alone.
Yeah, yeah. And it's through this, it's really reiterated that everybody has a story. Everybody's fighting something. You know, it might be your dog died that you've had for 20 years, and it's just like how devastating that is to lose your best friend. But you know, you can't really equate what one person's problem is not worthwhile to them, you know, if that makes any sense. Of, you know, one person's worst day is the next person's best day.
Yes.
You know, it's just, you never know. And it's just like, just have some compassion for that person. And it's, just know that you're not alone, and everybody has that. And having people to talk to was a huge thing. And it really solidified things in this band right here, because, you know, like we talked about earlier, that I've been in lots of bands, but they were just musicians that I got together with and played music with.
Yeah.
Like there's that spiritual connection through music, but with this group, it's different because they all, you know, they'll all go to the ends of the earth for any of us in the band. And it literally is a brotherhood more than anything else. So it's a special band, definitely.
It's a special band for all sorts of reasons. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love, as you are specifically moving forward as a band, and I mean, I've heard some of the new material. I want to ask you a couple questions about that in a minute here. But the idea that when you go to and see the website of the band, and it shows all the members and shows what you're, there is a persona, there's costumes, there's, you know, there's a real, you guys are going deep when it comes to the personalities that you have within the band, including the role, if I could say it like that, that you're playing on stage as well.
Yeah.
You're not just Nori up there.
No. So it's, and that's done for multiple reasons. Jason is the singer, proper man. Mm-hmm. If that's all he was, that's amazing. But Jason also owns this winery and also owns multiple wineries and a brewery and. Mm-hmm. Like he's an amazing person and he's got a lot going for him. Mm-hmm. But when he's up on the stage, he doesn't care about any of that. And, you know, same thing for me with my business. I've gotten it over the years. Well, of course you're in so many bands because your family owns this and you get all the gear for free and you do this and you do this.
I'm glad we're talking about this. This is good.
You know, I was raised of, I get zero special treatment because what is that going to get me in the long run? You know, it's no, you work for everything that you have and it pays off in the end. And that was my upbringing. And for everybody in the band, it was that way. Like none of us were placed going, you know, here's your golden spoon. off you go.
In fact, sometimes it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Being as part of the family, you're actually held to a higher standard.
It is true. It is true. So
yeah.
Over the years of playing in bands, as soon as people started finding out who I was or what my background was, they would look at me differently. And it was just like, no, I'm nighttime Nori. I'm not daytime Nori. So that was always my joke. It's just like nighttime Nori is a complete goof. He gets up on stage and has a blast and parties, and you know, daytime Nori is like no smiles, work, nose to the grindstone, just get her done. And it's we all have our own stage personas. Like my name's Slim Pickens in this band, and Jason's is Norm Schooling, and Justin is Killer, and Travis is Ashley Bannister, and Petri's 29. So it's just like, no, we want to be Properman. We don't want to be the other people. And what that allows you to do is you are no longer doing that intertwining of, you know, I'm a business person and I have this going on and I've got this emotional problem at home with my relationship and my wife just left me. It's like when we're up on stage, it's leave it at the door and we are a totally different thing. And it's been difficult to develop that over time.
I was going to say, have you done that in any of your other 30 bands? Have you ever done anything like that? Or is this
yes,
new?
I have. And yeah. I didn't recognize it until recently that I was doing it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because as soon as I start playing, it's like your eyes roll in the back of your head and roll back as a different view and a different perspective.
But not so focused with a name and a specific awareness.
No,
and so
exactly.
That awareness is showing up. That's cool.
So it's I've had conversations with Jason about that as well, where it's just like, his difficulty is he lives so close and he works so close. I don't know if he has that time to transition in between that. So when we start those first songs, you know, if your head's still in home life, you're going to have an off night because now you're just, yeah. You're out of place. You're like, how am I going to remember the words? Like, am I going to sing on key? What are the notes? So it's super important and it's a weird phenomenon. You just twist your brain into going, I'm a different person.
I'm Slim Pickens.
Yeah, right. And you see it with other bands as well, that like Kiss or Slipknot, you know, like all those guys. Yep. It's just like, why are they doing that? Is this just a gimmicky thing or is this them becoming that persona?
Yeah.
So if their persona is that rock star, maybe they weren't able to do it without that mask there.
Oh man, that's I love that element of this. As we close out, I want to talk about a little bit about the new material.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I love what you guys are doing. It's sounding really, really good. I want to talk about the song Bloodless.
Yes.
What does that song mean to you?
That song has a whole lot of emotion. It's you can hear it in the lyrics more than anything else. When I first heard what was being brought to the table, because our recording process is a lot different than a lot of other bands because we are middle-aged, we all have daytime jobs and relationships. We don't just go out into the studio for weeks on end. It's usually email circle just going around and around and around, and I'll add in this part, and then he'll add that, then I'll take... And it goes around and around for months. So it's a very time-consuming process.
That's kind of fun, though, too.
Like, it absolutely
is. Like, okay, I got this. What's going to come back, you know?
Yeah. It's like that story where everybody adds one word, and then in the end of it, you've got this whole story, right? this Bloodless, I think, was mostly Travis had almost everything done already. And then he showed it to Jason. Jason added in the vocals. And the demo that they sent to me, immediately the hair on my arms was standing up. I'm like, wow, there's... Musically, there's an emotion there that's so dark and raw, and then the lyrics and the vocals, it's just incredible. So at that point, I'm like, because I talk a lot with Justin, the drummer, because he works with me at the store.
Yeah.
And it's always a lot of like, which direction do you want to go with this? Like, we're trying to be an 80s new wave sounding band, but Justin's a really hard hitting drummer, and my upbringing,
he pounds those things.
Like, I love, you know, early to mid 90s alternative music. That's what I grew up on, and I'd love to play that music. But so we all add our own flavor. But with this, it was Justin and I didn't really talk about much. It was just like, no, just play to the song. He did his thing. And usually all of us have ideas that we say, why don't you try that? Why don't you try that? But with that song, it was everybody just did their own thing. Nobody gave any input outside of that. I went into a really low tuning on my bass, and I picked up a bass that I don't record with that much because it's a really edgy sound, which doesn't work with most Proper Man song. But yeah, so for my part, it was just like I wanted it to be low and raw and simple, and just going into it. And it was pretty much one take. Just went to the studio, recorded it, and it just came together really quick. And those are the best songs. Ones that come together really quick.
I'm very grateful that you've taken time to do this today. You've taken time out of your
out
of your business's work day to do this today. I guess want to close a little bit is what does Proper Man mean to you?
Oh, it's very important. Like I don't even know. I mean I don't want to say it's everything because you know there's lots going on in my life that are positive, but if I didn't have that, you know, I would definitely try to play. I always play music. I try to find other people, but to find the same mindset that we've got with these guys, it is something special, and it's been developed over a really long time, and it's something that will last all of our lives. It really is a special band. It's, you know.
The title is perfect. As far as I'm concerned, the band's name is just, that's one of the reasons why, you know, this project felt so synergistic to marry the idea of men's mental wellness and this band named Proper Man. It just seemed so perfect, and it is so perfect. Yeah. I just appreciate you doing this.
Yeah,
we'll finish off by Kristen as well now.
Mm-hmm.
We saw her at Costco the other day. She's doing great.
She's doing amazing. She's 3 years into her latest transplant.
Yeah.
And they were both live donors, which is another cool thing. These people don't get any money. They don't get anything. They don't get any special accolades. They both stepped up and donated one of their kidneys to her.
That's amazing.
But yeah, she's doing amazing. And, you know, knock on wood that kidney's going to last her the rest of her life.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking time to do this.
Yeah,
He Changed It is better because we have material like this and stories like this and guys who are willing to share their story.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, I've learned a lot in the idea of technology and social media apps and things like that, which is He Changed It is sort of in that category. It's kind of not really in any category. It's kind of an amalgamation of different ones.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys when it comes, especially men, who sit back, but they will observe, especially when they're in a place of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And vulnerability is one of those things. It's
100%.
You know, guys are we're known for not being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Unless we've gone through something or we know how to do something, and then we're willing to share that with other guys because we've gone through it.
Yeah.
You've certainly been an example of that today. Any last little words of guys who are going through something right now that may be watching this and may think that they're alone? I think we've done a good job showing that they're not.
That is the thing to know.
Yeah.
Everybody has a story and you are never alone. And, you know, if you're not willing to talk to anybody about it, just listen to other people's stories. And, you know, when you approached me about this, I was like, so cool because I love talking about my story, but I don't talk to anybody about it because who am I going to talk to?
No avenue
and
to do it. Yeah.
With my band, they all knew it because I do talk to them. But not everybody has that that option. You know, especially in our age growing up, you've got that dad where it's just like, man up, you know, quit complaining, just get it done. You know, stop being a baby about things. Or it's just like, no, like we are all humans. We all have emotions. And it's what you take from that develops you into the person that you are. And, you know, if you're struggling with anything, just know that you're not alone.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Nori Wentworth, wentworthmusic.com. Mm-hmm. People want to go there?
Wentworthmusic.com.
There you go. That's good. Not just selling musical instruments, but 1,000 students. That's amazing. You're inflicting and injecting music into our local community,
which, by the way,
oh my goodness, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
But then also Slim Pickens, Proper Man.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for taking
Absolutely.
Time, my man. Appreciate
Anytime.
It so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.